We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope everything went well over the weekend. It was a pretty nice weekend, actually, weather-wise. Matter of fact, let's check out some temperatures. Tipton, 74 degrees. Alta, 73 degrees. That's it. Two hottest spots in Oklahoma as of right now. 69 at Eric, 68 at Camargo, 68 at Slap Out, 69 at Boise City, 59 at DeMay Ranch, 67 at Lahoma. Out here in the Panhandle of Texas, probably more of the same. 64 at Palador Reservoir, 68 at Lipscomb, Miami is 68. Dozer, 71. Odell, 75 degrees down there across the Red River Bridge south of Alta. So more's going on. Man, we need a rain. That's all I can tell you. I know you guys all know that. We need a rain, but I'm just wishing for one. We do have a chance of rain coming up this weekend. Or not this weekend, but Wednesday night and Thursday. Not looking good for western Oklahoma. The further east you get, of course, the better the chances are. I think they're calling for 0.10 inches here, 1/10 of an inch coming up here in Beckham County and Custer and Washtenaw County. That's about all is good. Speaking of rain and stuff, Roger Mills County, Beckham County, and Harmon County. You're under a red flag warning today, so guys, use your head. Be sure, just don't do any outside welding, cutting, or anything you don't have to be doing. And if so, make sure you got a fire guard standing there with you with a fire extinguisher or can or something, water hose, something, put out the fire, because it's going to get really breezy here in a little bit. Panhandle of Texas, same thing. You're under most of the whole panhandle of Texas is under a red flag warning or fire watch. So be careful out there, guys, today. We got lots of fuel. And then I believe yesterday my informant from Sentinel told me that a mile north of Sentinel, an arsonist set 150 bales of hay on fire. They got a description of the cars on our vehicles, all I know. So hopefully those guys get caught. We don't need that. And I'm going to tell you right now, the farmers and ranchers, they're not in the mood for none of that crap. So if you think you're brave enough to go out there and do something silly on some land out there, go ahead. Give her a whirl. See what happens. It's not fun. It's stupid what you're doing. And so keep an eye on things, guys. And cameras are cheap, as far as I'm concerned. Cheap insurance. I've got a couple out right now, one on a water tank and one at my place. But I think if you got a big stack of hay somewhere that's close to the highways or roadways, I think a camera would be cheap insurance. And so just letting you guys know, somebody was out there in Washtenaw County setting hay on fire yesterday. So not a good deal. And if you're traveling today, please check your chains, wheel bearings, anything dragging off a trailer. Just be double safe today. So according to the Forestry Department here in Oklahoma, the outlook fire danger holds in place into Wednesday ahead of the improving rain chances Wednesday evening and Thursday. Recently updated forecasts offer improved probabilities to end a bit broader coverage, although the highest potential for wetting rainfall continues to be east of I-35. Dry conditions return into the weekend with expectations above normal temperature and below normal precipitation into next week. And then I did see they had an outlook for wildfires come out. Somebody posted it yesterday or today, and February and March doesn't look very good for Western Oklahoma and the whole panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma. So we need to just be aware. Been talking about it for a couple weeks now. Set up your stuff where if you do have fire coming across you, you know, make sure you can protect your house, your barn, and your equipment, stuff like that. And then next, your cattle, all that stuff. It's here, folks. We just got to get used to it. But thank goodness we have some of the best fire departments to fight wildfires in the Texas Panhandle in Oklahoma. We have it. We got it good. Appreciate what you guys do out there. If you get a chance and you're still needing a backdate check for a tax write-off, I'm sure these volunteer fire departments will take a backdated check if you need some extra write-offs. Be a good write-off. Go to good use. Notice Berlin Volunteer Fire Department. If you haven't seen it, get on their Facebook page and check out their new rig that they got for fighting wildfires through some grants and stuff and donations. And I don't know who all they are. We'll see what's happening. Okay. Let's see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. Want to? Soybeans and grains rose in overnight trading on signs of demand as several purchases by overseas buyers were announced last week. Egypt purchased 100,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans for delivery in the 25-26 marketing year that ends this coming August 31st. The agency said a day later that China bought 136,000 metric tons from U.S. suppliers, also for delivery this current marketing year. The USDA on Friday announced the sales of 132,000 metric tons of corn for the current season. The increased sales are a good sign heading into the new year after the 2025 proved challenging for demand amid tariff wars with several countries, including China, the world's largest importer of soybeans. Higher volume is expected in the first full week of this year after two consecutive weeks of trade shortened by holidays. Soybean futures for March delivery came up 7 cents to 10.52 and 3/4 cents overnight. On the Chicago Board of Trade, soy meal added $1.90 to $2.97.90 a short ton, and soy oil gained 0.13 cents to 49.43 cents a pound. Corn for March delivery up 2.25 to 4.39 and 3/4. Wheat futures for wheat in Chicago came up 1.5 cents to 5.08 a bushel. Kansas City futures gained 1.25 cents to 5.16 1/4 cents a bushel overnight. Exports of corn and wheat through the week of December the 18th, the latest data available as the government continues to play catch up from last year's shutdown, remain well ahead of yet year earlier levels while soybeans trailed, according to the USDA. Corn exports from the start of the marketing year on September 1st through mid-December stood at 24.618 million metric tons. That's up 67%. Year over year. So good deal. Now we just need the corn prices to get up, right? Wheat shipments for the beginning of the grain marketing year on June 1st through December 18th total 14.56 million metric tons. That's up 24%, which is good. And again, we need wheat prices to get back up by around 8-10 bucks. Soybean exports for from September 1st were reported at 14.23 million metric tons. That's down 46% on an annual basis. The tariff war between the U.S. and China kept the Asian nation out of the market for most of the year, vastly curbing soybean purchases in 2025. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. I was looking at some stuff over the weekend, and in Argentina and Brazil, they are spending millions of dollars for infrastructure inside the country and at the ports. Their plans are to really get after it. and they are our biggest competition on corn and soybeans. And you know, there's I think about 100,000 acres of peanuts grown down there also. And I noticed another data deal that's saying that they plan to increase. Right now, they're right at 90 million acres of irrigated cropland in Brazil alone. And I know that sounds crazy, but by the year 2030, they plan to add another 10 million acres of irrigated cropland in Brazil. What's that tell you? They got plenty of water for now, and they can double crop real easy down there. Their weather allows them to double crop, and with that many million acres, being 10 million acres, think about that, 10 million acres of irrigated cropland being added by the year 2030, which is only 4 years away, that's going to put a pretty big dent and what the U.S. can do as far as competition with corn and soybeans and cotton. They grow cotton down there too, along with peanuts. So, I mean, it's just, man, it's crazy what's going on. So, total commitments by overseas buyers to purchase U.S. agricultural products tells a similar story. Sales of U.S. corn came up 31% year over year. And wheat sales to offshore importers was up 18%. Soybean sales from the beginning of September through December 18th were reported at 26.83 million metric tons, down 32%. Oh, let's see what's happening with the weather. According to the National Weather Service, red flag, extremely dry weather is expected in the southern plains, where hard red winter wheat is overwintering, according to the National Weather Service. Red flag warnings have been issued for the region amid winds that will be sustained 15 to 25 miles an hour today with gusts up to 40. Humidity will drop to around 10% this afternoon. Any fires that develop could spread rapidly. Outdoor burning is not recommended. There you go. Not much else going. Colder and heck up there in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Winter weather advisories have been issued for up there. Hopefully one of these days we get a little winter, weather. We need it. We need some cold weather. That's all I can say. Cold weather activates cattle into calving. And we all know that we love to calve when the snow's boot top high, the wind's blowing 60 miles an hour, and frostbite will happen within a few minutes, and we got to take care of our babies, all that good stuff. Okay, today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour, so let's take an OCA break, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Briley Baca is an investment advisor representative of and advisory services offered through Royal Fund Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Every dollar you save for retirement has a silent partner, and it's your crazy Uncle Sam. He's waiting with his hand out, ready to take a chunk of your IRA, your 401k, and even your Social Security if you're not careful. But here's the truth. You can fight back. With the right strategy, you can keep more of your hard-earned money in your pocket and out of Washington's. At Advanced Financial Strategies, we specialize in family wealth management, helping families in Western Oklahoma cut down on future tax bills, maximize income, and keep control of their financial future. Don't wait for the IRS to decide how much of your retirement you get to keep. Call me, Briley Baca, a certified financial planner professional here in Clinton, at 323-6800 or visit our website, retirewithbaca.com. Advanced Financial Strategies, your money, your future, your choice.
It's a classic odor tale. You fried fish for dinner, cleaned up, but the smell is still in the house. And the neighbors are coming over for game night. They're on their way. And then you spray Febreze Air Mist. Febreze Air starts working instantly to fight even your toughest odors, so you go from fish to fresh like that. Now all you have to worry about is Pam cheating at charades.
Breathe happy Febreze, la 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 la.
Life gets a lot easier when you've got the tools to handle the cold. Like generators, because losing power is not an option. Propane heaters and portable heaters keep you warm and working. Heated jackets and vests keep your core warm. Gloves! For your vehicle, anti-freezing wiper fluid, battery charger, engine starters, flashlights, rechargeable hand warmers, WeatherTech floor mats to protect your floorboard, D-Gel diesel, scrapers, and de-icer. You know who's got all this. Napa Auto Parts in Elk City. 716 West 3rd.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Dozer, Texas, 72 degrees. Humidity is at 19%. Dew point's 28. The winds are out of the west at 19 with wind gusts up to 28 already. Month to date, precipitation zero, 8-inch soil temperature 51 degrees. No red flag minutes or sub-freezing minutes yet today. All right, let's check out the Central Crop Care out of Hobart, Oklahoma's grain market update. I seen something. I had to Google it during break. I'm going to share it with you here in just a second. Kansas City wheat, March 523, up 8. Board looks really good today. May is 536, up 8. Wheat out of Chicago, March 512, up 6. May is 523, up 5.25. Corn, March 444, up 7.25. May is 452, up 7. Soybeans, January 1047, up 18.25. March is 1062, up 16.5. Soybean oil, January, let's go to March. They don't have much there. January is, or March is 49.85, up 0.55 cents or half a penny. Soybean meal, January 295, up 4. March is 320, up 420. Oats for March 304, up 6. Check out cattle. Looks good also. Live cattle for February 236.40, up 40. April 237.27, up a buck 30. Feeder cattle, January 359.60. Got you fooled there for a second, didn't I? It's up 350. March is 356.47, up 352. And April is 355.92, up 367. Lean hogs, February 86.25, up 215. April's 91.67, up 257. So I was looking, hang on, let me go ahead and do the oil. Oil is up for February, up 95 cents at 58.27. I was wondering what it was going to do after all the chaos with Venezuela this weekend. February is 3.46, natural gas, it's going down, going backwards. It needs to go back up. So I looked over here, I'm looking at the KIS out of Yukon's, I'm looking at their markets. And I was looking at the softs. I was seeing what cotton was looking like for the future. And it was looking at May cottons at 66.05, up 68 today. Then I seen right below it, orange juice. And I never really thought about orange juice on the market. And it says for January, 205 even up 340. And I'm thinking, 205, $205. What is that? And so I Googled it, and I guess it's per pound is what I'm, I don't know. I'm see here, 1 pound, 16 ounces. Trade per pounds. I don't know what their pounds is. I can't imagine. I think it's $2 a pound is what I really think it is. So it's $2 and a nickel per pound is what I'm looking at. Man, you get some of that fertilizer I use on my tomatoes and get me some orange trees going, grow some orange on. Man, I could pump them up like steroids on there if you wanted me to. Just kidding. All right. You know, right now there's not a lot of positive stuff going on in the farming and even in the ranching. I mean, I know cattle's high and you should be making some money right now, but our inputs are just crazy. So on Market to Market's post on social media, they had Don Rose, I guess how you say that, Rose, yeah, got to be Moose Rose, it's just missing the Swiss art, talked to him about 2026, and so a friend of mine, the major, he sent me the report where he did this interview, and I read through that report, and I come across a couple things that even Joel pointed out. So Yeager was interviewing Don, and he said, one of the other things I was looking back at was a conversation I had a couple of years ago with a banker from the 1980s in Iowa. And, you know, I was listening to some of the things he had said that still hold true today. And we're talking about high interest rates. We're talking about certain producers that didn't make it, certain producers that did. I'm not asking you necessarily to forecast everything in 2026, but what are factors? I mean, we've been talking about this. If we can just hold on to another year or 2 years, things might change. Is this the year that things finally do change one way or the other dramatically? Not just in whether it's less farmers, more farmers, smaller farmers, bigger farmers than we had in a certain direction. Is everything kind of pin up like a dam and going to burst here this year? You guys remember what happened in the late 70s and 80s, interest rates. I remember I borrowed money on a one-ton truck to build me a welding rig for the oil field, and my interest rate at the bank was 20%. So here's the response from Rose. I think it's pin up, Paul. I tell you, I've never seen a year going forward that hasn't looked very similar to the late 70s and early 80s. And by that, I mean the assets have blown up terrifically. I don't care if it's machinery, land values, assets are high. And if you know if they ever decrease, you know you got a lot of issues similar to what we had in the late 70s. 80s that really what that looks like. High interest rates caused the problem. It may be low interest rates and just the inflationary attitude from COVID that just has everything blown up too high right now. Well, and then I go to, there's a response on social media from another gentleman, according to this interview, and his name's Alan. He said, I think everybody needs to really pay attention to this part of what he said. This is exactly what happened in 1980. Well, because that's what happened. You know, you blow the balloon up, puff enough times, eventually it pops. So I think that's what's happening to me. All asset values are terrifically being blown out of position. I mean, look at the land values, look at the machinery values, look at the cost of living. You know, everything seems just to be out of whack. It seems like, Paul, we need a reset. And sometimes you have to reset like we had in the 1980s. Where you just see assets decline rather than incline. So it's just some of the, things being said around with ag media, interviewing the experts. Some of the experts are good, I think. Some of them aren't. And but that's a pretty good interview, and I want to thank Joel for bringing that to my attention today. So, and we, you know, we get to talking about, we're in a flash drought right now. It's not good. I went around and dug in every one of my fields yesterday, and it was 4 inches before I hit any kind of moisture. It's dry out here. We were so blessed last year with a lot of rains up until what? Around the first November into October. Now we ain't had a drop of rain in almost 60 days. Doesn't look good. We're getting into our wildfire season, and hopefully we get some rain this coming Thursday. And then, so I had a listener send me a message on the Fowler Agency text line, and I think he's right. He says, "Jimmy, maybe all of us farmers need to set a time every day to pray for rain." And I want to share this with you guys. So every day in the morning at 8 o'clock, if you can just take a busy minute out of your time every morning at 8 o'clock, let's set a deal where all of us ranchers and farmers just say a quick prayer for some rain. How's that? I think that sounds wonderful. Thank you, Lawrence, for sending that in. Also on the text line I seen on off Tradio, it said this guy called last week, missing a heifer 2 miles north and 1 mile west of the stoplight in Sayre, a black white face with an orange 29 tag in the left ear. See, I guess this guy's found it, and I'll share that number with you at 580-928-0320, 580-928. 0320. There we go. All right, let's take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. Be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. Winter is right around the corner. Don't wait to secure the best nutrition for your herd. Call now to book your winter contracts for cattle feed, including our premium Mix 30 liquid feed. Give your cattle the edge this season and make sure they stay healthy during the cold winter months. Call us or stop by today here at SEI Agritech in Elk City for all of your feed needs. Follow us on Facebook for updates and more information.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
Farming is no game, but when you're at the game and have the ability to control your irrigation in the field, it's a huge game changer. Valley Irrigation is where farming meets in-zone efficiency. With AgSense remote technology, farmers become MVPs of their fields. Real-time play-by-play control means you're always ahead of the game. Score big with irrigation technology from Valley. It's technology that improves your life and lets you beat the game and be in the game. Visit Knutson Irrigation to become the MVP of your field. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. They have your infield coverage and your back.
I've banked First National my whole life as an ag producer. We understand. I'm over here in Elk City. Monty's over at Sayre. We're both operators. We have a real life experience on the situation. If times are tough, it's not just for our customers. We feel it too. When it's dry, when rates are up, we're able to communicate with management and everybody, hey, this is the situation. Our customers feel comfortable knowing that we get what they're talking about. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Yeah, farmers can be pretty tough because it's a hard world in farming, you know, in the farming market. It's tough, so they're going to do all they can to get the best deal they can, and we're going to give it to them. Everything for maintenance on your equipment, changing your oils, you need some antifreeze, you need some hydraulic oil, any kind of grease. We got the bolts and fasteners now. We're opening up electrical fittings, zip ties, penetrating oils. Camrock is the name of the company. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hi, right, welcome back. I just seen on my Weather Watch page, there's 30 bales of grass hay on fire up there in Major County somewhere. I don't have an exact location. So be on the lookout. That looks like probably just north of Canton Lake in that area somewhere. So be careful out there, gentlemen and ladies. All right, northwestern Oklahoma. Here's your ag weather update. 70 degrees, dew point's 32. The humidity's 24. The winds are out of the southwest. The west at 15 with wind gusts up to 22 currently. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 46 degrees. Sunset at 5:35, sunny and 77 today, clear 41 tonight, and Tuesday 68 degrees with light winds tomorrow. So partly sunny also. Okay, let's see here. Screwworms. another one. We got another one. Mexico reports the second screwworm case in 2 days. Mexican authorities reported a case of New World screwworm parasite late on Thursday. The second case reported in 2 days as Mexico works to contain an outbreak that has kept the U.S.-Mexican border closed to Mexican livestock. The parasite was detected and treated in a goat in the state of Mexico, which borders capital city of Mexico City, according to the ministry, adding that 20 other animals at the site tested negative and were given preventative treatment. On December 31st, the ministry reported a case in a 6-day-old cow calf. Just should say a calf. And down not too bad, 130 miles south of the border. Mexico has reported so far. See, and I didn't know this. This is, you hear about one or two or three or four or five or six cases that I've reported on the last year. Mexico has reported so far a total 13,106 cases since November of 2024, according to the government data. The southern border state of Chetapops, however you say that, Paws, however you say that, has the most confirmed cases. And then a lot of them are down there around the Yucatan and in that area. Screwworms are parasitic flies whose females lay eggs and wounds or larvae burrows into the flesh of animals, eventually killing their host if left untreated. Mexico has been working to contain an outbreak of the screwworm, which has spread northward from Central America, rattling the livestock and beef industries of both the U.S. and the Mexico. And because of the outbreak, the U.S. has kept the southern border closed to Mexican livestock since May, although U.S. officials say the pest has not yet breached the U.S. border. It threatens $1.8 billion in damage to the Texas economy alone. Speaking of Texas, Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller today addressed confirmation from Mexico's National Service of Agro Public Health, Safety and Quality. The New World screwworm case identified on December 27th in a 6-day-old calf. He says the continued detections of the New World screwworm near the Texas border are grim reminders of the serious threat this pest poses to our state. Thanks to the efforts of the USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins and in coordination with Mexico's ag division, its northward spread has been halted, and this recent case promises to be a one-off for now. But to fully eradicate this threat, the bottom line remains unchanged. We need sterile flies, and I know we're working on them in Mexico and even down in Panama, and they're opening that old, putting it on that, I don't know if that's an old Air Force base or current Air Force base down there in South Texas. They're building one down there. I said as much as a year ago when I criticized the Biden administration's failed efforts to corral this pest, dollars don't kill screwworms. Sterile fly does. If you want any updates on what's going on with that screwworm, you can go to the site that I go to. It's called www.screwworm.gov, and you can get all the information you want on the screwworm. So I was talking to the Cotton King a little bit yesterday. He called to stir my button up a little bit. He was out with his grandson, and that poor kid, I think he's going to be just like his grandpa. Listening to him in the background on the phone, I was like, man, that's another Jimmy Rhodes in the making. But to move on what we were talking about, Jimmy was talking about when he was helping his granddad back in the day when we had the screwworm around here, was it 60s and 70s and some part of the 80s. He said where the screwworm was going into getting into cattle a lot, most of the time, not all of it, was when you dehorned them. And that's where it was really good, easy access for those flies to go in there and lay eggs in those deals. And I remember, man, back in the late 70s and in the 80s, there were still a lot of cattle around here that we had to dehorn, and there's still a few around here, but not as much as back then. And I think it looks like, seemed like we were dehorning everything back in the 80s, but yeah, that was one of the things where the screwworm got into. But he said, you know, they used to dehorn them, doctor them, and pack them so the screwworms can get in there, and that was our most biggest deal. I go to the sale barn quite a bit, and I see some cattle come through there, yes, with some horns on them, but nothing like what it was in the 80s. So keep that in mind when you're getting ready to keep some heifers, retain some heifers. Let's go with those ones that don't grow those things, maybe, huh? And don't have to worry about it. But everybody picks what kind of cattle they want, no matter what. So I'm not saying don't buy horned cattle. I'm just saying that's one of the thing to think about. Hopefully we don't get the screwworm in there. Coming up next Monday on Jimmy's Wildlife Wisdom Hour, I'm going to have Jeff Pennington on from the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife and Conservation. We're going to be talking about feral hogs. We're going to be talking about prescribed burns that they're doing on WMAs and all kinds of other good stuff. So it'll be fun coming up next Monday. And then let's see what we got this week. Tomorrow, hopefully I'll have Brandon back on. Sale barns are open, boys. Get them cattle to the sale barns. See what they got going on over at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction today. Then we got Beaver tomorrow. And then Thursday I'm going to have Sandy Mooney on. She's She's the big leader. She developed it. She started it. She's with the Western Oklahoma Patriot Group. She'll be on Thursday for a segment. And then Friday, I'm going to be doing the show from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Congress. Again, that's going on this week. And if you're done stripping cotton, ain't got nothing to do, you need to go up there and check out the Cattlemen's Congress going on at the fairgrounds at Oklahoma City. There's all kinds of events going on off away from the fairgrounds, different breed associations having some sales or having some meetings and stuff. And it's going fun week for Cattlemen's Congress. And let's see here. What else did I have going on? Yes. Hey, big shout out and congratulations to Hopefully I get her last name. I know who she is. I know her grandma and grandpa and all her mom and her aunts and all that. But Paisley Belinsky from Canute was reserve grand champion steer at the Phoenix Stock Show. Was that last week? So congratulations. I'm sure I was talking to our text Jordan Cook last night down in Ouachita County, and she said there was a lot of people from Ouachita County at the Phoenix Stock Show. So that's pretty cool. That one and the El Paso Stock Show when I was in FFA were two of my favorites. I never did any good, but it was fun to go to. How's that? And the El Paso one, you know, we snuck across the border into Juarez, but I bet that won't happen today. It ain't going to happen today. But anyway, congratulations to Paisley for doing such a good job. She's the granddaughter of Dean and Sissy Kephart. They're north of Canute. All right, let's take our last break, OCA break. We'll be right back.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Have you had a little fender bender and don't know where to get it fixed? Take it to Skunk Works Paint and Body in Sayre. They're a full-service paint and body shop with the skills to get the job done right. They also have computer color matching and custom paint for your motorcycle. All insurance providers are accepted, and they work with fleet services. Give Skunk Works Paint and Body a call for a free estimate today at 580-928-5005. You can also find their ad inside the Penny News.
Did you hear about Mark and Jenny's place?
Yeah, that tornado really leveled it.
It's so sad, but get this. They're already making plans to rebuild with a barndominium.
Really?
Yep, they're using Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone. Said the crew's local, fast, and everything's built to take on Oklahoma weather.
Smart move. I've seen some of those barndos. They look sharp.
It's not just homes, either. Cyclone builds barns, shops, even commercial buildings.
I wouldn't mind a metal shop out back, and something that's actually going to hold up if the wind picks up again.
Let's call them. Mark said Culverstone made it easy and affordable.
Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone. Barndominiums, barns, and commercial buildings. Custom built to stand strong in the heart of tornado country. Call Damon Culver at 580-821-0681 or Terry Stone at 580-243-9598.
Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone. Not just built for looks, but built to last for years to come.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 12th. 1,580 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 455 brought 487.50. 5 at 552 brought 415. 9 at 603 brought 367.50. 14 at 670 brought 357.50. 18 at 713 brought 349. 7 at 759 brought 321.50. 6 head of heifers at 463 brought 427.50. 7 at 503 brought 402.50. 10 at 523 brought 400. 8 at 561 brought 372.50. 3 at 588 brought 335. 9 at 644 brought 350. 11 at 789 brought 335. Butcher cows were 64 to 180. Butcher bulls 120 to 188.50. Bred cows 1300 to 4350. Pairs 2100 to 3750. Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6099.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I got to share this with you. Oh, Mr. Larry Stewart down there at Western Equipment at Hobart, he just posted this earlier on Facebook. He said, "My wife should be proud of me. I haven't bought a tractor yet this year." Ooh, you're pushing it, Larry. You're pushing it. Mountain View, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden, Southwestern Oklahoma Ag Weather Update. 70 degrees currently. Dew point's 39. Humidity's 33. The winds are out of the southwest at 25 with wind gust up to 30. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 49 degrees. Sunset at 5:38. Mostly sunny, 77 degrees today, 41 partly cloudy tonight. Winds become out of the north tomorrow, and it looks like it's going to be a really nice day. 71 degrees, mostly sunny. That is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for down in southwestern Oklahoma. Okay, so I seen this on Facebook. There's a page there that I follow called Hands Off My Land. And I was looking at that and they posted something. I think I said it last year once and I'm going to say it again this year just to start the new year off in the right frame of mind with everybody. Most farmers and ranchers don't just farm or ranch. They work a 9-to-5 job. Then they come home and work the land. Weekends, nights, holidays, because farming and ranching isn't just a job. It's a lifestyle. For many families, off-farm income isn't optional. It's what keeps the operation alive. Rising input costs, the margins, weather risk, and margin swings, market swings make it even harder every year to rely on agriculture alone. That doesn't make them less committed. It just makes them more resilient. And they're doing it because they believe in their land, their animals, and passing something down to the next generation. And amen to that. What I just described, I think the government describes as hobby farmers, hobby farmers and ranchers. I don't believe in that at all. Yeah, there's probably a few out there that bought some land, never farmed before, bought some cows, started a deal. Yeah, I might be a hobby farmer, but for the majority of this, no. I know a lot of farmers that either they or their wives teach at schools, local schools, or they work at the local bank, or they work at the feed store or somewhere for either their spouses, one or the other, husband or wife, always have a job, especially to get insurance, health insurance and stuff like that. It's been going on for years. It always will. It's just a way of life. And not many farmers and ranchers can just depend totally on income off the ranch or farm. Some can. I'm not saying there's not out there, but you guys all know as well as I do, the majority of them have either a full-time job or a part-time job. I'm a good example. I work here. I farm and ranch. Got cattle that I take care of for other people. Grow tomatoes. So, yeah, I know what they're talking about. So, I just wanted to share that with you guys to start the new year's out with. How about that? Okay. Let's see what we want to do here. So what keeps beef producers up at night? I've seen this on Drovers. Cattle producers and industrial leaders share their concerns as the calendar advances in 2026. Worry. It is an anxious way of thinking. It usually involves thoughts about what bad things might happen in the future and if you can cope with them. In the beef industry, the list of things producers, stakeholders worry or stress about can be long and exhaustive. Here's a list of some of the key stressors keeping producers up at night. Number one, fear of animal diseases. And correct. Troy Rowland from the University of Tennessee summarizes with most folks, I'm concerned about emerging animal diseases like the New World screwworm and the foot and mouth disease and the impacts that they will have on the industry. Texas beef producer Donald Brown agrees a top concern on his mind is the New World screwworm. As temperatures rise this spring and the fly season begins again, I'm deeply concerned that we could see an outbreak with devastating consequences to livestock and wildlife. We still lack practical ways to treat or protect wildlife. After the screwworms were eradicated in the 1970s, it was 15 years before I remember seeing deer on our ranch. Today, deer are abundant and hunting has become a major economic driver for ranchers and rural communities. If screwworms cause significant wildlife losses, the ripple effects will be severe. Colin Woodall, CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says the top five things that keep him up at night: foot and mouth disease. He explains, we have a lot of good things that are going on, and yes, we've spent a lot of time talking about the New World screwworm, but we have tools able to address the New World screwworm. Foot and mouth disease is still kind of that unknown, and we understand that in working with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, they know that they have proof that the terror groups around the country have access to the foot and mouth disease virus, and that a pin pull is all they need to be able to come in absolutely and send our market into chaos. Our industry into chaos, our food supply into chaos, and the economics around those into chaos. He said that some other stuff, so interesting. What else is there? Weather changes. Kansas beef producer Debbie Lyons says that there's a number of challenges that worry her family. Number one, Mother Nature. Like, it's got a lot of us around here just like we're either down or we're stressed, like, are we going to get a rain? Actually, I don't see how some of this wheat and rye and Truticale is actually living right now with no more moisture in its gut. And I see some blue coming up in some of those fields pretty severe now, so it's coming. Everything we do day to day and long term is tied to weather. Even the markets are tied to what Mother Nature is doing across the nature. Cindy Newkirk of Van Newkirk Heifers agrees with weather as the big stressor for her and her family, who are seed stock producers in Nebraska Sand Hills. Wonder if they're Cattlemen's Congress. I'll have to remember that name. Let's see here. Cattle producer and extension educator Shad Marston from Canton, Kansas, says the possibility of extreme severe weather is what keeps him up at night. 2 years ago in January, we had a really cold week right at the beginning of our calving season. We only had 3 calves on the ground. He remembers temperatures were well below our normal cold temperatures, and the snow created it hard to even get out of the house. We never lost any cattle or calves, but that week was a challenge. Everything on the ranch froze up, waters, tractors, skid steer. We only had 1 truck running, and it was just a flatbed with no bed on it. Interesting there, huh? Number 3, the cattle market. From South Dakota cattle producer Kent Ott, he says that what keeps him up at night is anything that might crash the market. I'm thinking about both fed cattle and feeder cattle markets. He explains foot and mouth disease is high on the list, and it doesn't seem to get much attention recently. Newkirk agrees with the markets, and overthinking market swings are a concern. Number 4, beef and supply and consumer demand. We've had the smallest calf crop since 1941, says Ron Lemanger, however you say that. He's a Purdue University beef specialist. Put that with closure of the Mexican border due to the New World screwworm, and we have a limited supply. As a producer, I like the higher prices, but from the consumer standpoint, at what point are they going to walk away from beef and go to chicken or some other protein source? Brown explains supply and demand ultimately governs the market. If we lose feedlots and packing capacity, we weaken the demand side of the equation, he said. Jason Warner, Kansas State University cow-calf extension specialist, says, in short term, I'm concerned about what happens to the beef industry if there's a major drop in consumer demand for the beef and the potential ramifications for cow-calf producer if calf prices substantially drop, considering how high calf cow heifer prices are right now. Last but not least, government interference. I'm just going to put it down to this right here. Washington just needs to keep their mouth shut, and we don't need any help with the heifer retention. How's that? That's not what he said, but that's what I say. So, hey, by the way, over Sarah Brand Bar at the cafe, calf fries are the special today if you hadn't went in and ate yet. How's that? What's somebody else say here? Being able to get up worries me. That's funny. Yeah, me too. Yeah, number six, being able to get up. Put that on there. We'll add that to the list. You guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City, and Sarah, Oklahoma.